Lamite de Clark on Radio Harmony Cornuai. Join me, Clark 80, every Wednesday at 10:15 a.m. or at 18:15 on Saturdays to hear interesting interviews with some fascinating people. And remember, things always go better with a little harmony in your life. It's time for Lamite de Clark on Radio Harmony Cornuai 88.8 with your host, Clark 80. Stay tuned for today's guest, a well-known literary figure in and around Quimper, Jean-Jacques Brouard. We'll talk about his involvement locally in poetry and publishing, theater and playwriting, as well as his colorful history and sojourns in Ireland. This is the first of a two-part interview with Jean-Jacques.
C'est l'heure de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmonie Cornouaille 88.8 avec votre animateur Clark Eddy. Restez à l'écoute de l'invité d'aujourd'hui, une figure littéraire bien connue de Quimper et de ses environs, Jean-Jacques Brouard. Nous parlerons de ce dramaturge dans son implication locale dans la poésie, l'édition et le théâtre, ainsi que de son séjour en Irlande rempli d'histoires intéressantes. Ceci est la première partie d'une interview en deux parties avec Jean-Jacques.
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark 80. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better. With a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Hello everyone, today I have a very special guest as usual, but this guy is a very talented local artist. You know, Quimper and especially the Finistère have, both are blessed with artistic talent and vision. And today I'm delighted to have as my guest Jean-Jacques Brouard, also known as Jan to his friends, who's going to tell us a little bit more about his interesting life in the arts here and some of the other things he likes to do, which he's a very versatile guy. So first, I want to welcome you. Hello, Jean-Jacques Jan.
Hello, Clark.
Nice to see you today. We're up early. Well, for us anyway. And we're ready to hit it as we go. One of the things I wanted to do when I looked at Jan's website, which I thought was very interesting, he had this quote that le sens de ma quête et la quête de sens, which for me was very well put. I'm not sure. Did you make that up, Jan?
Yes, I did. I mean, I actually created that sentence. In fact, the point is I've been interested since the beginning of my life with language. And of course, language has got to do with meaning. And contrary to most people who think that, words represent things, which is in a way true. Otherwise, it wouldn't be useful to speak. But, the words are very approximate signs to represent the reality. And one has got to work very carefully. Especially, I admire a writer who is also a philologist and a philosopher, whose name is George Steiner, who was a professor at Cambridge and in the States and in Switzerland too. And that man who is dealing with meaning.
Yeah. And
you've got to know what the words used by the author stand for. And it's very difficult to know what, the word liberty or freedom meant in the 17th century. It's not exactly the same meaning as today. And that's what, searching the meaning of words means to me, is that you've got to be very careful that language is not an exact science. It's something that has got to be thought,
Well, that's very well put. The nuance of language is pretty remarkable, and you're right. It can depend on when the word was used and how it's evolved. But see, that's the poet coming out of you, because the poet tries to strike a balance between, I guess, what's obvious and what's emotional, and it's often hard to capture in one word, so we put it out poetically. But I've also always wondered, maybe you do too, whether the language forms the culture or the culture forms the language.
When you look around Europe in particular, think of all the variations in cultures and languages and how they kind of go together. And English is kind of a melange of so many of the other languages too. But tell me, you were born in Brittany. You were born, I think you told me, around Saint-Brieuc, but you had kind of an interesting childhood because your father was in the Marines or the Navy, and you moved
Yeah, he
around a
was.
bit.
Yeah, he was a Navy officer in the Marine Nationale, and but he was as well an interpreter of English in the French Navy, and I think I may have that passion of English from him, really, because I remember listening to him translating some speech from the British Navy officers, and him studying or writing in English, and he helped me a bit before he died to masterize the English language. So I've got a
Well,
debt to him.
you obviously are very competent in English, and that's an interesting story to learn, about how people do come upon another language. I like Jan. Some of you who are listening perhaps recognize that little Irish accent he puts out, which is so beautiful. And tell us about that, because the Irish side of it comes out pretty clear to those of us who know and speak English as a native language.
Well, the thing is, when I was, 16, in Brittany, what was happening was the Celtic revival, with Alan Stivell and all those musicians, and of course we were very, we were fans of Irish singers like the Dubliners and the
Sure.
Chieftains and all these people, and of course I started to play the tin whistle and listening to those Irish songs and even learning them, and since then I haven't stopped. So I've been going to Ireland mostly since I've retired, as a matter of fact, more than during my professional life. And of course, I feel at home in Ireland because I think Irish people are very welcoming. And in the counties where I go to, which is the northwest and southwest and the west of Ireland, people are very genuine, and they particularly like to be with you when you share their culture and bring as well the Breton culture. I mean, in some pubs, I usually sing Irish songs, which I know very well, and I sing them with the Irish accent. Sometimes it happened that after singing a couple of songs, going to the bar, a man asked me, says, "Which county are you from?" I said, "I'm not Irish." He says, "Come on, you're
You
joking."
passed the
No,
test.
but that
Well,
explains a lot. And but as I often say, and I talked about that about 3 nights ago to an English girl who is both French and English, and she said she was like me. If you spend some time with an American, you take the American accent. If you spend some time with the Irish, you take an Irish accent. And I think it's part of being, in phase with the person in front. It's just
there's
some
that
people
artistic.
might think it's you're taking the Mickey, but you are not. I mean, I'm not. I just I like the accents because I'm a linguist,
Well, it's kind of the language has a flow, and I think if you're an artistic person, you pick up that flow pretty quick and you're able to reproduce it, But I'll try not to ruin your Irish accent with this little American accent, I guess. So we'll see if we can get through that today. Well, I love the old expression about in Ireland, all the wars are merry and all the songs are sad. And that tin whistle is such an emotive sound to it. I mean, it's just terrific, and I can see why you're attached to it. Well, you said you were 16. Is that when you were 16, you went to Ireland for the first time, or did I misunderstand that?
No, not really. No. When I was 16, I was sort of very interested in the Irish culture and Celtic culture and all that. But I didn't go to Ireland straight away. In fact, I had to wait a bit because, first of all, I was at school, my mother didn't have much money. I mean, I did not travel much to when my father died. Anyway, the first the first time I went to the English speaking country was Jersey a couple of times. And then when I was 18, I took the A level and I passed. And then I started working in bars and restaurants to pay for my studies. And I went to university. I carried on working while studying. And then when I was 21, I gave up my university studies without having a degree, really. And I went to straight to Scotland.
As you would.
I went to Scotland because I loved as well Scotland. I mean, you know, and then I stayed a month in Scotland and then came down to Wales, where I joined the Eisteddfod, you know, that
it's beautiful.
Welsh national festival, which happens every year. And there I met a crowd of 15 Breton guys, boys and girls my age. And as I spoke Breton, because I'd learned it, although it wasn't my native language, I joined them going to Ireland. We went to Dublin. And there we were supposed to go to Connemara. But I never went to Connemara. And I'll tell you why. It's because one night we were in the pub. And the first night we slept on tree branches in the center of Dublin. Because we had no money. And I mean, Dublin at that time was a sort of, you know, province town. And the next evening, we went to a Gaelic-speaking club. And among us in the Breton crown, there was the Ewan Guernig's daughter. Ewan Guernig is a famous Breton poet. And she'd lived with her father in New York. She spoke marvelous English with an American accent. And she was being chatted up by a bloke who said, you know, where did you sleep last night? How long have you been here? One evening. Where did you sleep? On tree branches. Where are you sleeping tonight? I don't know, she says. And he says, come to my place. And she answers straight away, we are 15 of us. And the bloke, Michael O'Donnell, his name was, he says, you all come. But you take a taxi. So we took a taxi, and I was with a man, a bloke. The next morning, we were supposed to hitchhike to the west of Ireland, and I was with that bloke, and so I said, "We'll hike together because we couldn't hike the 15 of us all together." And he lost his wallet on the top of the taxi. So instead of going to Connemara, I stayed with Claude. I remember his name. I stayed with Claude because at that time there was no internet, there was no money transfer, just like that. We had to wait for the money to come from Camper to the Bank of Ireland, and we stayed about 10 days in Dublin, you know, feeding. I lent him some money. I mean, we had a fantastic. I know Dublin very well. I could not tell you the name of the streets, but if I was dropped in the center of Dublin, where I haven't been since, I would certainly find my way.
I'm interviewing Jean-Jacques Brouard, otherwise known as Jan, and he's spinning us some yarns about his time as a younger man in Ireland, and also his interest in languages, which I think is a fascinating thing, too.
Anyway.
Isn't it funny? Life makes these crazy turns, and sometimes it ends up being a lot more fun than what we already had planned.
It does, yeah. It was perfect adventure. But then I went back to Ireland, funnily enough, a long time after, because I mean, you know, when I was 50, I think, yeah, that's it. My brother said to me, he says, you know, since our parents died, well, our father died and our mother just a long time after, we have never been on holiday together. So he says, why don't we, you know, leave the women at home and go like, you know, youth with our rucksack and all that to Ireland, which we did. But the pact was, I said to my brother, okay, we go to Ireland, the two of us, but you've got to speak English all the time because otherwise we won't be part of it. So he says, okay, and he did. And we had a fantastic time. And since then, I've been going there about, you know, every other year, like. And now it's getting more every year because I've
It's an
been last
annual.
September and I'm going back next August.
Hey, maybe one day you won't come back, huh?
Well, I don't know.
And you say you do speak Breton, or you can speak Breton, the
I
language.
do, yeah. I started learning it when I was in the lycée at school,
Oh, yeah.
just before the A level. And I carried on at university with this teacher who's well known in Britain. He called Père Denis, Pierre Denis. And then I lived in Paimpol, so I had a friend there who was a native Breton speaker, and I've been practicing it even when I was far from Brittany. And yeah, I'm able to speak. I mean, much much less fluently than English, but I can
And
manage.
did you find that useful while you were in Wales? Did you run into Welsh speaking people?
Yeah, well, at the time, in fact, it was very funny because during th that time I went to Ruthin to the Eisteddfod in the in 72, I think. In the crowd, they were all Breton speakers. I mean, we spoke Breton, and of course, I mean, some Welsh could understand a bit, and we could understand, although the L in Wales is not like L in Breton. Is yeah, talk
Oh.
in Breton, for instance, you say lagad for the eyes, and the Welsh say cagad, cagad,
yeah,
and
sure.
but there was that bloke called Marc Querin. Still alive, as a matter of fact. And he was chatting up a girl in Welsh. And there again, a bloke nearby, he says, "Which part of Wales are you from?" He said, "I'm not Welsh, I'm Breton." And he had to show his identity cards to convince the other one. But but although, you've got to be very fluent in Breton to understand Welsh and have a good ear, because although the words are very similar, I mean, sometimes the sentences are a bit different.
Sure. Well, we're going to run out of time here pretty quick for the show, but I would like to have you back next week, because here's what I want to do. I want to talk a little bit more about what you're currently doing and some of your artistic pursuits, how people can follow you or learn more about what you write, what you paint. And if you don't mind doing that, we'll terminate this show now, and then we'll have you back next week. What do you think?
All right, fine. That suits me.
Thanks everybody for joining us today. I'll be back next week with Jean-Jacques Yann, and we'll discuss some more fascinating aspects of his artistic life.
Okay, see you next week then.
That's it for this edition of L'Invité de Clark on Radio Harmony with your host, Clark Ady. Thank you for joining me and my special guest, Jean-Jacques Brouard, today. Tune in each Wednesday at 10:15 or listen to a rebroadcast of this week's show on Saturdays at 18:15. You can also listen to L'Invité de Clark wherever you are. Just visit www.radio-harmony.com to listen directly. Or you can also find all of our interviews under the podcast tab on the website. Remember to tune in next week for part two of our interview with Jean-Jacques Brouard. And remember that things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
C'est tout pour cette édition de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmonie 88.8 avec votre animateur Clark Eddy. Merci à Clark et merci à son invité spécial Jean-Jacques Brouard. Connectez-vous chaque mercredi à 10h15 et pour la rediffusion de l'émission le samedi suivant à 18h15. Vous pouvez également écouter l'invité de Clark sur www.radio-harmonie.com en direct ou plus tard, car toutes nos émissions passées sont accessibles sur l'onglet Podcast. N'oubliez pas de nous retrouver la semaine prochaine pour la deuxième partie de notre entretien avec Jean-Jacques Brouard. Et rappelez-vous, les choses se passent toujours mieux avec un peu d'harmonie dans votre vie. Kanabo!
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.